Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here, post-election day wrap-up, Wednesday, November 3rd, 2021, 12 and a half minutes past the hour, and we're going to be joined this morning by some more candidates last night who were up for office. Does anybody have anything to say in regard to how the elections turned out? 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. Is there anybody out there listening who has anything to say in regard with how the elections were handled, how the vote count was sent to everybody last night, how things turned out here in Marion? And again, if you're just waking up this morning, the news is that City Council now is made up, as of January, of 6 Republicans and 3 Democrats. That's the way it all shook out last night. And the treasurer in Marion will be changing. Tommy Reese defeated Tom Bennett. The incumbent was defeated in that particular race. Marion City School levy did pass. Tri Rivers passed. I believe all the county schools passed. And the first consolidated fire levy went down in defeat. And that's the story of last night, as they say. 740-383-9944. If you have anything on your mind this morning in regard to the wrap-up of election 2021. As fascinating as it was. Fascinating and a long night. Let's put it that way. Let's take a look here. Yesterday we were having a conversation about the Red Apple Restaurant and the elephant that ran through the Red Apple Restaurant. And I have to thank one of our listeners out there if I can find it here. And of course now I will not be able to find it. But one of our listeners out there sent me, I believe it was either, here it is. I believe it's an article on the whole incident. And there actually is a picture here. Let's take a look. This is from the Marion County Historical Society, I guess, Facebook page, it looks like. But here's the story as it reads on that particular page. Trucks running into buildings on State Route 4 north of Marion is not a new thing. In 1961, a truck and trailer carrying elephants on their way to a circus left the road and smashed into the Red Apple Grill on State Route 4, just south of Bargain City. The driver sustained somewhat serious injuries, while two passengers were sleeping in the trailer received minor injuries. A baby pachyderm received a skinned trunk, while the adult elephants were not injured. So there is how a story through history can get all messed up. The elephants are not buried in downtown Marion. No elephants were killed that day. No elephant tore down the Red Apple Grill, I guess is how it was referred to in those days. The truck ran into it. It also had nothing to do with a train, as we now know. It all had to do with a truck. The truck and trailer carrying these elephants on their way to the circus somehow got off the road and crashed into the Red Apple Grill. And the picture here on my Facebook page is pretty interesting, as it definitely did some damage to the Red Apple Grill. So once and for all, that is what happened to the Red Apple Grill. A truck and trailer carrying elephants, went off the road, crashed into the Red Apple Grill, which used to be on North Main Street on Route 4 there, and that's what caused an end to the Red Apple Grill. The driver sustained some injuries, some people sleeping in the cars sustained some injuries, and an elephant had a skin trunk. But it does not say the elephant got loose. It does not say the elephant tore down the Red Apple Grill. So that's the whole story from the Marion County Historical Society. And I think it demonstrates again how history can sort of get a little messy as time goes on. Anybody have anything to say in regard to that? 18 minutes past the hour here, 740-383-9944. But I do thank Bob Baker for that. Bob Baker sent me that message. And I assume Bob is out there listening, so I appreciate that quite a bit. But that's what happened with the Red Apple Grill. Now, I'm trying to remember what else we were talking about yesterday. I know we were having a pretty interesting conversation in regard to a lot of things that were here, are going on in Marion, And we don't reflect on the past, honestly, to stay in the past. We reflect on the past to get the past right. Hence the case with the Red Apple Grill here. I wonder what the Red Apple served, because it doesn't seem like it was a very profitable place. I don't believe it opened back up after the truck with the elephants in it hit it, which, you know, it could be maybe they didn't have insurance. You know, one thing I did want to talk about yesterday, we were talking about restaurants, and heaven knows we've talked about a lot of them here in Marion. Oh, and I did want to mention, again, Rich Gorenflow sent me a picture of Del Taco, and I did pass Del Taco again, and it's going up fast now. Maybe they heard us talking about it. But the exterior of that building is going up rather fast over there on Mount Vernon Avenue, where U.S. Gold used to be. So Del Taco may be here before we know it. Doesn't take long to put these buildings up now. Does anybody know anything about the trajectory of Del Taco at this point? 740-383-9944. The thing I wanted to talk about, and again, we don't have to go to prehistoric times to talk about this, is the airport restaurant. The restaurant that used to be out at the airport. I thought, and I still think this is a terrific idea, because there is really nowhere on Polane Road to eat of substantiation where you can go inside and sit down and enjoy yourself. And I don't know why the restaurant at the airport did not go over. I also don't know why the airport, because at one point, it's my understanding, and I have not done a whole lot of research into this, but the Marion Airport used to have flights to New York and places like that. I don't think they flew all over the country, but I believe they did have shots to places like New York and probably other places in Ohio, I would imagine. Maybe Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, maybe Indianapolis. I really don't know what their route or route was, depending where you are in Ohio, I guess. Does anybody have any information on the airport when it was much more functional for citizens of Marion, and what happened there? Well, I guess it didn't get used enough. Must be what happened there. But it was used by a lot of people, I guess, who were heavy travelers at that time. I don't know if that would work today. Obviously, at that point, the airport was zoned for that, but I don't know if they had more land out there at that point. I don't know if they had bigger runways. I don't, and I cannot think of the name of the, what they called it in those days. Those flights that would go to New York and places like that. Seemed to me like it had a name. But I heard people from that era all the time talk about going out and having lunch at the airport because there was a restaurant out there. Does anybody have any information on this? I'd love to hear it. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I believe yesterday some of the talk had to do with the old Scotch and Sirloin. We talked about that. Doubles up on North Main, where Victor's Taco is now. Smith Cardinal Grocery Store. The Big Banana. Humpty Dumpty's, which was up there. You know, does anybody know anything about Fiddlesticks either? Fiddlesticks, the donut shop that was up on the corner of Main and Fairground. It was there for a long time. Now, I know the Huddle family owned the Dixie Cream donut shop, but I don't believe the Dixie Cream was where Fiddlesticks ended up, there on the corner of Fairground and Main. I was Fiddlesticks a locally owned donut shop, or was it a chain? I really don't know. I always thought that was an interesting name for a donut shop, Fiddlesticks, because it really didn't say anything about donuts. Usually, a donut shop lets you know that they primarily deal in donuts, like Dunkin' Donuts. I guess Tim Hortons doesn't. Starbucks, it's hard to tell with Starbucks. I don't know why people go to Starbucks. We've gotten in that whole conversation. I just think that's a culture that goes to Starbucks. I think they want the Starbucks cup. I think they want the cake pops, which apparently are a very popular thing over there. I think they want all that. And I think that is really what Starbucks comes down to. Everybody very quiet this morning after the elections. I can't believe it. Our audience is never this quiet. Either we don't know anything this morning, we're in shock, or we're very happy. I don't know. Anybody want to say, oh, we have a call coming in here in about 6 minutes. So we've got 6 minutes of open phone lines here. Does anybody have anything they want to say about anything? Any of the history of Marion we've been talking about? Any of the election fallout from last night, feel free to give us a call. We've got about 6 minutes here before our next guest is going to take the airwaves. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, I wonder when Glenn comes rolling in here how he will feel. He was up late last night with all of us, not getting out of here until almost midnight last night. Hope you enjoyed the coverage. We had a lot of fun doing it. It was just rather long, 4 hours long, and still trying to get a feel this morning on what happened at the Board of Elections. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I know about the Fiddlesticks, the Big Banana, and Humpty Dumpty.
Oh, go right ahead.
Those were all names of pornography.
All right. Well, at least we've got somebody out there this morning who's trying to be funny. and trying is the heavy-duty word there. Trying to be funny. But, yeah, Fiddlesticks, was that just a local place? Or were there Fiddlesticks other places in the country? I don't ever remember seeing one anywhere else. We were also talking about Dutch Pantry yesterday. Now, I think we had one person call in and say they were primarily a breakfast place. Other than that, I don't think we heard too much about Dutch Pantry. And on the agenda yesterday as well was, well, I'm always fascinated by Ross's up, well, not too far from where we are. I believe, and I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, somebody can point this out. I believe that Ross's was on the property that CVS is on now. I think that's where it was. Now, I could be wrong about that. But Ross's primarily, to me, was a breakfast place, but I think they were open longer than that. But there was a Chinese place that went in there after Ross's closed down, but we could not come up with the Chinese place. Now, was that Mark Pies? Was that where Mark Pies was? I cannot remember. I thought Marion had a Mark Pies at one point. We still have the House of Hunan out here on Delaware Avenue behind the mall. And we still have the Hong Kong Buffet out on Mount Vernon Avenue. But I thought Mark Pies took over Ross's when Ross's went out of business here on, I guess it'd be the early part of Delaware Avenue. But I can't, I know it was a Chinese place, I think it was Mark Pies, but I'm not sure. If you know, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944, that's what we're here for. Our next guest will be coming up here in about 2.5 minutes, and we look forward to that. I believe it's going to be a joint guest appearance this morning, so we really look forward to that, and getting a little more election fallout coverage from last night. 740-383-9944. Again, do want to mention that Dinner with the Presidents is coming up this weekend. Always a big event for the Marion County Historical Society. Saturday, November the 6th, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m., Dayspring Wesleyan Church, 2431 Marion Mount Gilead Road, right here in Marion. A lot of presidents are going to be there. We've got George Washington, Martin Van Buren, Warren Harding, John Kennedy, James Madison, U.S. Grant, Chester Arthur, Benjamin Harrison, Theodore Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, Harry Truman, Dwight Eisenhower, and Barbara Bush will be there as well. James Cox, Governor of Ohio, will be there, and Mary Ellen Withrow will be there. So it's going to be a lot of fun coming up this weekend. Go ahead, caller.
Last night, I've worked on the Board of Elections, or worked around elections for over 50 years, and that was the worst fiasco I have ever seen.
What do you think what happened?
We never had a thing like that ever happen before.
Now, do you know, is it law, or is there some rule that they have to release precincts as you get the results?
I don't know, but I know one person at the Board of Elections is the dipstick that held up this election, because they wouldn't put out any numbers until all the ballots were in and secure, all from every precinct.
Now, do we know who that is?
Yes, we do.
could you tell us their position, or what the...
She is the head of the board.
Oh, so she's the head, is she the director down there?
I think so.
Now, do we know why? How do we know it was her who was causing this problem?
Believe me, we know.
Well, why does she do this?
I don't know, but she's going to get a lot of complaints to the Secretary of State's office this morning.
Well, that's what...
There's no reason to hold up those ballots until after 11 o'clock last night.
Well, that was the strange part, and that's what we were all saying here. I don't understand. I get that they were waiting for Elgin, and maybe there was a problem there. But why did they not release anything until everything was in? I don't understand that.
I don't either, but it's disgusting.
Yeah, well...
Because it made it so much... everybody got home so late, I know. It was after 1 o'clock this morning before I got home, and I was really disgusted because it was uncalled for.
Well, hopefully we hear some feedback on this and find out exactly what happened.
We need to.
Yeah, I hope we hear. Maybe we'll hear something before the morning's up. I know we've got some calls put into them this morning, so maybe we'll hear something.
Hopefully.
Hey, thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there you go. That there's a feeling last night in regard to the Board of Elections and why that went on the way it did. A lot of people are angry this morning. There's no doubt about that. That's the one thing last night that didn't have anything to do with Republican or Democrat. It was the way the election was handled. And it is just beyond me, and I've slept on it now, it's just beyond me why that goes that way. I'm trying to think of some logical reason of why it's done that way. I've never seen it done that way in any county, and it certainly was not done here that way. But I would imagine that there are some people from some political parties and some people like our caller there who are very unhappy about that situation, and we will see how that all shakes out. I think we'll be joined here by our guest momentarily, and we can learn about what in the world went on last night. If anybody else has anything to say, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We would love to hear from you. We'll see if our guests are going to join us here. We'd love to hear from them. Day after election is always interesting. You don't really plan a show because you don't know what's going to happen or what the fallout is going to be. But we soldier on today. And we'll soldier on all day with programming here. I'll be on with Glenn Coble through noon today. And then we will have a progressive life from 12 to 1 with Glenn Coble. Then I believe we go on to Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman, 4 to 5, and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, 6 until 7 today on this station. And we'll see what the Marion Star has to say about all this as well. I know Mitch and Sophia were working very hard last night, and that's tough. And I believe it was the first election for both of them, and that is a big job, especially after a night like last night. I was also interested in this whole Cardi Finkbeiner election up in Toledo. He was running for mayor again. Now, he had been mayor many times before. I believe in the early 90s he had two terms as mayor, and then he ran again in the 2000s after he was taken out by term limits and won again, and then he left and said he would not run again, and then he came back and ran again. And it looks like, if the results are true, he was pretty well defeated last night, a man in his early 80s. But does age matter? You know, that's an interesting question. Does age matter when it comes to elections? It seems to me like the people we are voting for are getting a little older. But, who knows? I don't know. You know, to be honest with you, when I look at the ages of people who were elected last night, you know, Kai Mead in the first ward is very young. Ayers is not that old. I'm not exactly sure the age of Aaron Rollins. And, you know, I think it's about average. If you look at the city council makeup here, you know what is interesting? As you look at this, not a whole lot of women ran last night. I think only three. We had Kathy Swanger, Karen Fosnaugh, and Tara Dyer. Oh, Dana Hanif Booker. We had four. So there were four, and we ended up getting, let's see here, four ran, and I think one was elected. So I think there will be one woman on city council at this particular point. That's kind of interesting. Write-in candidates, of course, did not do very well. They tend not to do very well. That was the case last night. When I look at the first ward, it says there were 60 write-in votes, but none for David Miller. So I wonder if this has anything to do with the whole write-in system. As many of you know, you have to write this in exactly the right way. And yesterday when I was voting, I accidentally hit the write-in button on something that had nothing to do with city council because I don't live in the city. But I hit the write-in button, and so I got to see the process of how a write-in candidate is done. And that's very difficult. I mean, once you hit write-in, you're into that program, and then you have to type their name in. And I believe you almost have to type their name in exactly as it appears on the ballot. Now, David Miller, to me, would not seem like a difficult name to spell, but I wonder if this had anything to do, you know, if you hit the wrong button and spell the name wrong, just because of an accidental hit of a button, that could cause a problem, as they say. Any feedback from anybody at this point as the morning grows? I imagine a few people are just waking up now after the late night we had last night. You know, it was kind of interesting because it's my understanding that the Democrats were down at Amato's Pizza, and I'm not even sure if Amato's is open yet. I know that they had rented the room last night for a certain period of time, and because of the length of the election, the Democrats, I guess, had to leave at one point because they had reached that point in the night. Nobody thought it was going to be as late as it was. But that's the way it goes. I believe we're going to have our call in here momentarily. What do we got here? 38 and a half minutes past the hour here. WWGH Radio Time. We're awaiting a response here from our guest who's going to join us. Big night, as it were. And I can't wait to hear what Glenn Goble has to say about all this. You know, last night it kind of came down. We did wrap up, and then we all left. And that's the way it goes. All right. What else is on the agenda here this morning? Does anybody find that interesting? I find that fascinating about the Red Apple Restaurant. Does anybody think that's interesting about how it actually had nothing to do with the elephants? That there were just elephants in the truck? You know, it's interesting how history changes by word of mouth. But it does. Hopefully over the next few days we'll get to speak with some of these candidates. I know we've got some coming up here. And Kai Mead will be joining us for a few minutes today via telephone, I believe at 11:20 during the show that Glenn and I do. And who knows who else from 10 until 12 today. Certainly a lot of conversation about a lot of things going on. But I did like seeing the turnout last night. That was very good. Go ahead, caller.
I want to know when Meyer came.
All right. Well, there we have another person. And again, I want to emphasize the word this morning, trying to be funny. A person trying to be funny. Somebody's in a very good mood this morning. Maybe they got up this morning and the sun was shining bright. You know, I'll tell you something about this morning. I parked outside last night. Normally, I park in my garage. But I got home late last night, and for some reason, I could not get the garage door to go open. So I thought, well, I'll just park outside. I'll be back out here in about 6 hours. So I parked outside last night, and when I came out this morning, frost on the windows. If I had parked in the garage, there would not have been frost on the windows. But thanks to the parking outside last night and the garage door not working properly, had to get the scraper out this morning. You know, I don't know the last time I scraped windows, because when you park in a garage, usually that's something you don't have to do. But last night, this morning I was scraping windows because of a faulty garage door opener, I guess, last night. I'll tell you, there was just a whole lot of problems last night. Counting the votes, getting results, getting in my garage. It was a whole thing last night, trying to get through things. I do also want to thank everybody who joined us last night via telephone. Ted Williams, Jim Renacci, David Pepper, Ray Grogan, Councilman Feliciano, Mayor Schertzer. A lot of people joined us. Brett Cornelius joined us via telephone. Kai Mead, I believe, was with us for a little bit last night. And I think that's probably... I don't think I'm leaving anybody out. I hope I'm not leaving anybody out in regard to the people who joined us via the airwaves last night during the marathon election coverage. At some point today, I'm going to go back and check and see how long the coverage was last time we did city council, which would have been in 2019. See how long our coverage went that night. I don't think it was anything like it was tonight, or last night. See, I don't even know what day it is anymore. That's how scrambled this whole thing has made everybody. But we do have a guest coming up. I just got the confirmation that we will have a guest here momentarily. You know, I know people are busy this morning. Lot of celebration last night at the Republican headquarters, was my understanding. Hopefully we'll have confirmation on that here in just a few minutes, but it's my understanding there was quite a bit of celebration there. And I tell you, after the way things turned out last night, I can understand why there would have been a lot of celebration at Republican headquarters. Interestingly enough. Alrighty, here we continue on this morning with our post-election coverage. And last night we did have a big race for city council at large. Three of the four people who were running, we did have a write-in candidate, Richard Arndt, who did not receive any votes last night. But of the four party-represented people, we had Brett Cornelius, the Republican, Evan Geyer, the Democrat, Aaron Rollins, the Republican, and Mike Thomas, the incumbent Democrat. And the three that will be going to city council, Brett Cornelius received the most votes, about 27.69% of the votes. We had Aaron Rollins get 25.21% of the votes, and Mike Thomas, 22.35%. We're joined right now by Brett Cornelius. Brett, congratulations.
Thank you, Scott.
What do you make of the results last night when they finally came about? Now city council will be made up of six Republicans and three Democrats.
Yeah, I'm actually very happy about that. I wanted to say something about the Dick Arndt race, though.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm not sure that the way that the votes were reported, I don't think that's correct. I don't think it's correct to say he got zero votes. I think he got about 300 votes.
Well,
they had the way they put that in there, because I know my family, almost all my family, voted for Dick. And I know a number of people that voted for Dick, so I know he didn't get zero votes.
Well,
I know Dick voted for himself.
Well, it's interesting because the way they have done this, I mean, Dick Arndt is on the ballot, and so in the first ward was David Miller. Now, they have
right.
their names listed with zero votes, but then they have write-in votes as 309 in the at-large category, and I think it was 60 in the first ward. So I don't know if there was... you know, that write-in candidate situation, you have to do it exactly right, and it has to be typed in exactly right. So maybe they are for those people, but still far behind what the other candidates got.
Right.
That's
right, far behind. But I'm wondering about the system that they use to report write-in candidates, because I think that maybe you're right. But I'm sure Dick would have spelled his name right. I know I spelled his name right. Richard Charles Arndt.
Yeah, I would.
So,
well, you know, it's interesting. I don't live in the city, and I'm not sure how it appeared on the ballot, but Charles Richard Arndt, I mean, did you have to type it in exactly that way?
Yeah, and if you wanted to do write-in, there was a sheet that you could get when you walked in that had all the write-in candidates on there and their name spelled, you know, the way they were supposed to be on the ballot. So, you know, it could be that people didn't understand they had to pick up that sheet and didn't check the spelling. But I know I spelled it right. I know a number of people did. And I'm sure Dick did.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. So, I'm sure you're right.
Yeah.
Brett, what do you attribute? You got more votes last night in the write-in category, a little over 2,000 than anybody else. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I worked hard. I tried to keep my campaign focused on the issues that I wanted to be able to, when people thought of me, that they would know exactly what I stood for and exactly what I wanted to do. So I kept harping on just three things. First, I wanted to do something about the sewers and dilapidated housing, the sewers especially because of the backup into people's homes. I talked to so many people that lost hot water tanks and furnaces and washers and dryers. You know, I thought that was a very important issue. I knew it would resonate with voters, and I felt I wanted to keep my campaign focused on that. The other thing was the city charter, and I tried to explain to everybody I could why I thought we needed a charter and what it would do for our city. And then the third thing, and I had this on all my literature, the third thing is I believe that we need local representatives that are going to stand up to federal and state overreach. There's many examples of the way federal government just, you know, violates the 10th Amendment. They violate the 4th Amendment. They violate the 2nd Amendment. And they do this over and over again. And in our own state, I believe that Mike DeWine, our governor, has violated the Constitution in the last year. I think he has, especially with COVID, he assumed powers that were never granted to him. And I think he may, I really think that his actions hurt small businesses and hurt small business owners. I think we need to have a local representatives who are willing to, in a sense, defy federal and state powers when they overstep their bounds. We had a good example of this. Now, I didn't agree with what happened. In other words, I didn't agree with the issue that these cities chose, but I appreciated the fact that they stood up, for instance, to President Trump when he wanted to deport criminal illegal aliens. Now, I agreed with Trump on the issue, but there were several sanctuary cities out in California that said, no, we're not going to cooperate with you. We're not going to turn people over. We're not going to notify, the DEA. I can't think of the ICE. We're not going to notify ICE. And so they just essentially resisted President Trump, and they were effective. And I think if they could do that for criminal illegal aliens, we ought to do that for other issues.
Is there an issue in local Marion city government where you feel there has been overreach by the federal government or the state government?
You mean that particularly to Marion?
Yeah, that city council would have been able to stop it if they had the chance.
I can't think of any clear examples right now. But one thing I'm a little concerned about is Mike DeWine's initiative with these red flag laws. I think it's a violation of our Bill of Rights on a couple different levels, the Second Amendment, and the Fourth and Fifth Amendment. With these red flag laws, the government can come in, whoever the authorities would come in, and they would take guns from people who never committed a crime, you know, so how, where do they get their authority to do that? It's a clear violation, I believe, just like the civil asset forfeiture laws. I understand why they have them and why they want them. There's, you know, dangerous people around and drug dealers and such, and it helps them maybe to control that. But that too is another thing that I think is a clear violation.
You know, I've been saying this on this station since 2016. When you look at the makeup of Marion County and Marion City elections, since 2016, we have seen all the county commissioners become Republican. We have seen the sheriff become Republican. We have seen the auditor become Republican. We have seen now the treasurer, as of last night, become Republican come January. We have seen city council now become more slanted Republican than it has been in a long time, 6-3 at this particular point. In Marion County, if you put an R next to your name, it seems to be a pretty good bet that you're going to get elected. Do you think people know what they're voting for?
I think people, that's a great question. I think people have, their focus is on national politics. You know, that's what seems to be important to me. I know for a long time in my adult life, I didn't worry much about local politics. I didn't think it was important. I thought all the important things happened in Washington. And so if you agree with the agenda of Republicans or Democrats in Washington, I think that does filter down. And I think a good example of that was the Virginia race last night. Although Terry McAuliffe made some blunders, I think people were generally speaking unhappy with what's happening in Washington, and they identify Republicans or Democrats with that unhappiness or that happiness, and they vote accordingly.
There are two issues last night, two races that I want to bring up here. Tom Pannett was a longtime Marion County Treasurer, Democrat. Did not seem to have a lot of negative things said about Tom Pannett. Matter of fact, I saw you yesterday with Tom over at the fairgrounds, you know, doing what was being done, campaigning where you could. But Tom was also identified by the mayor as the person who first sounded the alarm on what was going on in the auditor's office. Tom spoke about the auditor's door being locked when he was here last week for Candidates Night. And Tom was defeated by somebody who we did not see on Candidates Night, Mr. Reese. And I'm not exactly sure what Mr. Reese's experience is. He might have some in financial dealings. I'm not really sure what they are. I really don't know. But certainly not as a city treasurer, but yet he wins last night. The Republican wins. What'd you make of that race?
I think Tommy's is a CPA.
Is he CPA?
And he's been doing books, and that's I think what's what he does for a living. I know he's also a pastor. But listen, I think Tommy won because he got out there and he hustled. He knocked on doors. He got his signs and yards. He talked to people. If you've ever met Tommy, he's a very affable person, genuinely likable, and I think that had an effect on the voting public. In fact, you know, it was funny because I think Tom ran a heck of a campaign too. I think they both ran a hard campaign, but I think what happened was Tommy got out there early and got a bunch of work, knocked on a bunch of doors, talked to a lot of people, and then Tom saw these signs going up, and he responded to that. So I just think it was a good campaign, really, on both sides. They both got out and made their case to the public. But I think Tommy worked hard, and I think Tommy's personality and his charisma helped him.
And the other two I want to touch on here in the 4 minutes we have remaining. The at-large race was interesting because the Democrats, and I'm not going to get into the issue because we don't want to do that again, so this is, I'm going to try to word this properly. Aaron Rollins was elected. He was right behind you there at large with 1883, 25.21% of the vote. The Democrats released a statement at one point during the election cycle not too long ago that he had been involved in some activity that involved the law, we'll say that way, the legal system, and yet he finishes second place in the at-large race and sits on council now. What'd you make of that?
I think that the people saw through this Democrat version of the October surprise. I think that was a terrible thing that they did. I believe that they victimized that family that had... Look, divorces are messy things, right? And I can understand people get their emotions up, and there seems to be the conflict, and that happens in a divorce. I've seen a number of divorces where it's happened. Sometimes it gets ugly, but Aaron and Andrea are on the same page. Andrea was there at the Republican Party last night with Aaron and fully supporting him. So I think if Andrea can support him, I think the voters of Marion can feel comfortable in
that's,
supporting him.
That's very interesting to know, Brett. I appreciate that information. Now, the other one is maybe more the most interesting race of all last night. Mike Neff defeated Kathy Swanger by a very narrow margin, 780 votes to 733 for Kathy. Now, Mike Neff's name has come up quite a bit in regard to the auditor situation we've been going through. I was at the special meeting for the auditor, and the mayor has said many times that Mike Neff was the only councilman that never asked a question. Not a vote, never asked a question in regard to the whole auditor situation. And the mayor said he found him complicit in this situation with the auditor by not asking questions and voting in the auditor's direction. Also, Jason Schauber, the Republican from the 3rd Ward, who was not up for re-election last night, endorsed...
He ran unopposed.
Endorsed Kathy Swanger, the Democrat, in that race, and yet Mike Neff wins.
Yeah.
I don't want to go into the
whole Robert thing.
Somebody who doesn't ask questions, I guess, would be the main thrust of that.
Yeah, I think Mike should be the one to answer that. I trust Mike. I like Mike. Mike has been faithfully serving the city of Marion for the time that he's been on council. I think he has good judgment, and the whole Robert situation. There was much more to that, I believe, than what has been reported in the news and what's been talked about, and especially more to it than what the mayor and other members of city council have. But I'm not an expert in that, and so I don't know all the details, and I don't want to speak on something that could be speculation.
A final question, Brett. As you said, Mr. Reese, who will be our new treasurer come January, and yourself, both pastors in the community, what do you think that says or will bring to city council and the treasurer's office?
Well, I hope that it will bring... I want to be a peacemaker on city council. One of the things that has surprised me a little bit is the amount of vitriol that's in local politics. You know, we're all neighbors. We got to get along together. We shop together. Some of us are going to church together. Tom Panett last night, yesterday, when we were in the driveway of the fairgrounds, we were talking about, we both went to Emmanuel Lutheran Church. The abortion question last Thursday night brought a national issue into a local race where I don't think there's any real local issue for abortion. So, although if there was, I think I would be ready to fight that one out. But I think that there's so much vitriol. I would like to see a little more peace and a little more cooperation between council members. I'm hoping that if I have any effect as a pastor, that I have that effect.
Well, Brett Cornelius will be headed to City Council come January, City Council at large. Brett, congratulations and thanks for the time, and I'm sure we'll be talking in the future.
I hope so. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Brett. Bye-bye. Brett Cornelius. Well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it this morning. Heading for the dugout for this show, but I'll be back with Glenn Coble and more analysis and Kai Mead at 11:20 this morning for a few minutes. Election fallout. Stay tuned.
Personality, type 2 diabetes. But the issue that I saw with Chris was, and you know, we've already had problems with the Trump-Pence logo. I think you know about this. But I was